Good to see everyone this evening. Kind of a bittersweet Sunday evening service, and that this is Tom and Tommy's definitely last service with us for quite some time before the foreseeable future. And of course, everybody here, I hope you know how much we love you, Tom, and how much we appreciate what you've contributed to the work here. In so many ways, you're definitely going to be missed, and we wish you all the best where you're going. If you get over there and find out it's not the promised land, come on back. Okay, we've got lots of houses in the area, building more all the time. Okay. All right. I want to take you all to the 32nd chapter of Exodus. So I'm not going to read this chapter. I'm just going to briefly go through an overview of the chapter. When you come to the 32nd chapter of Exodus, of course, we're talking about the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. They have come to Mount Sinai, and Moses has went up on the mount to receive the Ten Commandments. Moses is on the mountain longer than the people expected that he would be. And Aaron and the people made a golden calf, an altar, made sacrifices, and practiced lascivious idol worship. Verses 7 through 14 tells us that God plans to destroy the people and make a nation of Moses because of the sin that they are committing. But Moses reasons with God, and God spares the people. Moses says, you know, you've brought this people out of Egypt and destroyed Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea, and now if you destroy all of these people, what are the nations of the world going to think of this God? And God reconsidered what he was thinking and decided that he could work with what Moses was saying too. But in verses 19 through 24, we find that Moses descends the mount and sees the idolatrous scene that God had already seen. Moses becomes angry as God became angry. His anger was such that he threw the Ten Commandments down, and of course they break into many, many pieces and it's destroyed. Moses then also destroys the idol and makes the people to drink the powder of it. Moses questioned Aaron concerning what was taking place, but Aaron's answer did not deserve a response. It's real weak when you read that. In verses 25 through 29, it continues and says, despite the actions of Moses, there were still some people who engaged in worship to the idol. It was still going on. They still had allegiance to this idol. And God had already sworn, had already shown Moses what he thought of this sin. He was ready and willing to destroy the entire nation. And so Moses is now ready and willing to destroy those who are continuing in sin. Those who were not guilty needed to take action, lest the offenders bring destruction upon all of them. Verse 26 says, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And it's from that inquiry, whoever is on the Lord's side, who is on the Lord's side? And we want to take our lesson tonight. Are you on the Lord's side? I think there's some good things that we can consider here. There is a choice to make. We need to recognize that there is no middle ground. There is no neutral position. Jesus stated it this way in Luke 11 and verse 23. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. There are so many opinions of men that they need to consider what Jesus is saying here. You know, you've got the atheist and you've got the theist. And then you've got the agnostic that says, well, I just don't know if I know or not. I don't know if I believe or not. Jesus said you don't believe. If you are not with me, you are against me. We need to think about that. Sometimes we as individuals need to take a position. We think we take a neutral position on things when the Bible is very concrete and solid about the position of God. We need to be sure that we always stand on God's side. Why should we choose the Lord's side? I think that's a legitimate question. And although the answer to that is obvious, it's good for us to review it. Consider, for instance, the past. In consideration of the past, why would I want to be on the Lord's side? Well, the Lord is our Creator. He created the universe and the earth and life and all that we see and all that sustains us. Not only that, but the Lord is our Savior. We have sinned and failed to glorify Him. We have separated ourselves from Him by our sin. And there is no way for us to reconcile that to God. We cannot go to God and say, this is what I will do for my sin and make things right with you. We're not in that position. God is the one who paid the price for our sins. And He tells us what we must do to come and to comply with that condition of salvation that is in Christ Jesus. But the point is that God did provide a Savior for us. And that Savior, of course, is still available. Well, if we choose not to be on the side of our Creator and our Savior, whose side are we on? Well, there's only one other side, whether we want to admit it or not, but the Bible is clear about it, that we're on the side of Satan. Satan is a murderer and a liar. John chapter 8 and verse 44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. The Jews wanted to kill Jesus. He says, you're of your father, the devil. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. You want to kill me. And he does not stand with the truth. The Jews were not standing with the truth who stood right in front of them, incarnate, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So, you've got a choice. Are you going to be on the side of a loving, compassionate Creator and Savior? Or are you going to be on the side of one who wants to see you dead and will lie to you, deceive you? As we talked about this morning in our adult Bible class from Revelation chapter 9, that smoke of deception that hides the light of God. We can get caught up in that, but it's our choice. Whose side are you on? Are you on the side of light and truth, or are you on the side of sin and error? Consider the present and whose side you want to be on. Everything that is good is from the Lord. James 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Have you ever thought about that? Satan never provided anything good. He never does. But every good thing, every perfect thing comes from God. On the other hand, Satan seeks our destruction, as we're familiar in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Why would you want to be on the side of your adversary? The moment you decide to be on the side of your adversary, is the moment he will destroy you. Consider the future when you consider whose side you want to be on. The Lord will take us to be with Him forever. In a place that certainly, as we've been studying the book of Revelation, is a glorious place around the throne of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 16 through 17, it says, "The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." The Lord is coming to take us with Him, to be where He is. "I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again for you." On the other hand, Satan would have us share eternal torment with him. Revelation 20 and verse 10 says, "The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." And as we drop down to verse 15, it says, "Everyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, where the devil and his angels are." That's where Satan wants us to be. Why would you want to be on the side of someone who wants you to share an eternity in torment with him? Certainly, we all desire to be on the side of the Lord, and certainly to be with him in eternity. The choice that we make needs to be made known. In Matthew chapter 5 and verses 14 through 16, very familiar with this passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp to put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What's Jesus saying here? If you're going to follow me, let it be known that you're following me. Don't hide it. Don't put it under a basket, under a bushel. Let it be seen. You're lit for a reason. You remember in John chapter 19 and verse 38, we're told about Joseph of Arimathea being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, and so he came and took the body of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea came to the point to where he wasn't going to be a disciple of Jesus in secret any longer. It was going to be known to Pilate and to everyone that he was a disciple. But why had he been keeping it a secret? He was afraid of the Jews. He was one of the rulers of the Jews. His peers wouldn't approve of it. He would be cast out of his circle of influence. He thought he could have it both ways. When he came to realize that he didn't want anything to do with those who were not on the side of Jesus, that he should have left them and should have let his allegiance been known a long time ago, I'm sure Joseph of Arimathea regretted his secretly following Jesus for a long time after he finally decided to let it be known who he was and what he was. But you know, a lot of us are like Joseph of Arimathea. With the friends that we go to school with, the people that we go to work with, conversations that we hear that we're kind of invited to get involved with, not formally invited, but people are talking and it's clear that anybody can speak that wants to speak, and we know that what they're saying is not true. That it's against the truth that's been revealed to us in God's Word. An opportunity is being given to us to let it be known that we're on the Lord's side. And let the truth be heard. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 38, Jesus said, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and his holy angels." We need to get over being what I call secret agent Christians. We need to let it be known whose side we're on. And invite others to join us on the Lord's side as well. Those on the Lord's side are not to become lost amidst the sea of sinners. And I don't mean spiritually lost. I mean they're just kind of, they look like sinners. Sometimes they talk like sinners. They dress like sinners. They participate in actions of sinners. They don't want to look different than other people. They're afraid what others will think of them. They're afraid that people will think they are different, they are strange. Well, you are different. You are strange. You are to be different if you're a follower of Christ. Christ doesn't do what the world does, and Christians are not to do what the world does either. We're to stand out. We are to let our light shine. We may be in the minority. Yes, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads into life, few there be that find it. Yes, we're in the minority. But we are to make ourselves known. We're not to be afraid of the majority. Being on the Lord's side means that the Lord comes first in our life. The sons of Levi were told to take the sword and execute punishment on every brother, man, and companion who was continuing in this sin. I want you to think about that. He said, "I don't care if it's your brother. I don't care who the man is. I don't care if it's your companion. That'd be your spouse." They were to execute the judgment of God upon everyone who was continuing in this sin. This was to be done without favoritism or sympathy. Such was not an easy task, I'm sure. They learned immediately that choosing to be on the Lord's side meant choosing the Lord over whoever they were. In Matthew chapter 10 and verses 35 through 37, I believe that we have a parallel commandment, if you will. "I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." We need to realize that if we choose to be on the Lord's side, that we choose to separate from those who choose not to be on the Lord's side. Choosing the Lord's side demands commitment to him over family and friends and self. If I choose to be on the Lord's side, then I'm choosing him over my own carnal intentions and directions. Notice as he goes on to say, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." He who finds his life, you pursue what you want, you're going to find out that you're going to lose your life. You'll find out too late. But if you'll lose your life, lose your will to do God's will, you'll find your life. You'll find what life is all about. You'll find the true purpose of life and the fulfillment of life. You'll find the abundant life that Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That life is found in being on the Lord's side and keeping His commandments to His honor and to His glory. One man can become a positive example for others. The children of Israel were without good leadership while Moses was in the mountain. Moses had entrusted Aaron with the leadership, his brother Aaron, with the leadership of Israel while he went up into the mountain. No doubt he thought he was placing that leadership in a good man who was capable of providing that leadership. He found out different. Aaron could not restrain the people and even help them commit their sin. It's pitiful to read the 32nd chapter, and the sin that the people enter into, it's even more pitiful to hear Aaron's explanation as he tried to explain it to Moses. When Moses re-entered the camp and issued the summons, those on the Lord's side responded to the call. There may come a time when we will find ourselves in the minority, perhaps even being the lone voice for the Lord. But it is then that we need to take a stand and allow all others know where we stand. When Moses said, "He who is on the Lord's side, come to me," he didn't know if anybody was going to come to him. Moses knew where he stood. He didn't know where anybody, including his brother, where they stood. It was the sons of Levi that came to his side. And Moses then, of course, had restored leadership to Israel. When we do so, others who wish to stand for the Lord will gain the courage to stand on the Lord's side and be recognized as well. And so, we need to recognize the value of leadership. And sometimes you need to just kind of look around and say, well, if I don't do it, who is going to do it? Because nobody here is going to do it. Nobody that I'm with is going to do it. I know what needs to be done. I know what needs to be said, and we need to do it, and we need to say it, and we need to speak up. We need to let our loved ones know where we stand. Maybe they don't stand with us. Do you need to accuse them of not standing with the Lord? With some, that might be a good tactic. With others, it may not be. They need to know where you stand. On whose side you are. You're not on their side. You're not going to endorse their sin. You're not going to be one who supports them in their sin. You're on the Lord's side. And invite them to do the same. Being on the Lord's side will bring a reward. We can either join the world while they eat and drink and rise up to play as those in the days of Moses did, or we can serve the Lord faithfully and abstain from worldly lust, experience the joy of righteousness here, and enjoy heaven hereafter. Who is on the Lord's side? Are you? Are you on the Lord's side? Or are you here one tonight like Joseph of Arimathea? You're a believer. But you don't want to let it be known that you want to follow the Lord. Why not? Are you tired of that, of being a believer secretly? Are you ready to stand up and be counted on the Lord's side? The Lord tells us how to do that. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. Except you repent, you will perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Have you turned to Him? Have you turned away from your way of life and sin to follow Him, to walk in a path of righteousness? Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Will you make that confession tonight and be counted on the Lord's side? Will you be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and rise to walk with Him in newness of life from this day forward? Be counted on the Lord's side tonight and from this day forward. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God, and you haven't been letting your light shine, you've been hiding it under a basket, and you realize that you need to let it shine. You need to be stand up and be counted. And don't be afraid of those who are not on the Lord's side. But let your light shine for their sakes. For you never know who's in the darkness, who is seeking and knocking and asking and trying to find their way to the light. Will you be that light for them? If you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we encourage you to let it be known. We encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.